All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go back to Revelation chapter 17. We have been looking at the tribulation period for the last several months now, and this 17th chapter is sort of the culmination of the battle that is all through the Bible, the fight between God and Satan. That battle has manifested itself in many, many ways. I took you back to the book of Genesis, and we saw the godly line of Seth and the ungodly line of Cain, and how that as time progressed, the line of Cain, the wicked line of Cain, those folks just got worse and worse and worse. And then eventually there was a merging of the two lines. The righteous line of Seth merged with the with the ungodly, and it just absolutely caused a mess, and God ended up having to destroy the earth and all that's on it, except for what was saved on the ark. And then when the flood settled and God started over with Noah and his family, it did not take long before it was all right back in the same mess that it was before. And so this battle, this spirit of Antichrist, which is at work, and Paul said it's still at work. It's at work in our generation. It's at work right now, even as we are sitting here. It never stops. The devil is always trying to drag as many souls into hell, because he knows that's eventually where he's going to end up. And he is determined to hurt God as much as he can. And the way that he can do that is to attack God's creation, to attack man. And that's exactly what the spirit of the Antichrist is all about. It's to deceive, just as the Antichrist, when he comes, will deceive and will lie and distort and so on and so forth. Well, that spirit of Antichrist is doing the exact same thing in our world today. And so if you have any spiritual eyes at all, you can see that there is this struggle, this constant battle that is going on. All right, so in chapter 17, we see now the culmination of this struggle and this battle that has been raging ever since the Garden of Eden. It has never let up, and it is not going to let up now. So we're just going to have to stay faithful. That's what all the challenge was from the Apostle Paul and from John and from Luke and the four Gospels. I mean, the challenge is you just have to stay faithful in the midst of all of this wickedness and sin that is going on in our world. All right, so look, please, at chapter 17 and verse 1, and let's read a couple of things here, then we will address them. All right, let's look, please, first at verse 1. It says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me." Now, you go back to chapter 16, verse 1, and John says he heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels. All right, so the seven angels delivered the final seven judgments, what are called the bowl or the vial judgments. And just like you have a bowl and you pour out what's inside it, that angel brought from the throne of God a judgment to the earth and then poured it out upon the earth. And so there were first the seal judgments, then the trumpet judgments, and then the vial judgments. And these judgments were all building one upon the other. And so when the vial judgments were turned loose, the earth was in total disarray and shambles, all right, because of the judgment of God that was upon him. All right, so these seven angels, one of them came and talked with John. Middle of the verse, verse 1, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. All right, now, look down at verse 4. All right, so here is this harlot, this whore, as he calls her, that is sitting upon many waters, upon the nations, ruling the nations. And verse 4 said, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, this fornication is spiritual fornication, all right? She is a harlot because she is luring the world and the kings of the earth to commit spiritual adultery by following the religion that the Antichrist is setting up. All right, so you have this woman now. Don't confuse the woman with the Antichrist. All right, not the same, not the same. And we'll see that in just a moment. Look at verse 5. It says, and upon her forehead was a name written. And notice the boldness, the all capital letters here. The name, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, you remember a couple weeks ago, I was explaining some things about that name that was written on her forehead, and in Middle East thinking, if someone says that something is the mother of, what that means is it's the biggest, it's the greatest. All right, Saddam Hussein said that that he was, if George Bush attacked Iraq because he attacked Kuwait, and he said America will face the mother of all wars. All right, so what he was saying there is the biggest. Well, it didn't turn out that way, did it? He ran and hid like a little girl. But anyway, that's the thinking behind all of that. The mother of something is the biggest, the greatest, you know, it doesn't get any bigger than that. So this woman that is here is the Mystery Babylon, and she is, of all the harlots, she is the mother of harlots. She is the worst of the bunch. Okay, that's the idea behind it. All right, look down please now, if you will, at verse 6. It says, and the woman, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. All right, so this is a reference to all the martyrs that are going to die during the tribulation period because get saved and they will not turn against the Lord. And so she is drunk, John said, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And then jump down, please, to verse 9. And in verse 9, let's skip verse 8, I'm sorry. It says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not. All right, so the Antichrist now, the Antichrist. All right, look at verse 7. I shouldn't have skipped that. It says, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast. So there are two different entities here. All right, please understand that. They're not the same thing. So he said, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. All right, so it is the beast who is the impetus behind the whole thing. The beast is the brains and the brawn behind it, behind the woman. All right, the beast is the head honcho, and he is driving the woman. All right, look at verse. The rest of the verse, it says, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. Now watch this. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. All right, now that sounds heavy, but it's really not. Now I'll explain it to you in a minute. All right, look down now at verse 9. He says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Not the beast, the woman. All right, nod your head. You see that? Not the beast, not the Antichrist, but the woman. The woman is the seat of the beast's kingdom, the center of his power. Okay, it is the heart of his kingdom. Read on. All right, then verse 10, it says, and there are seven kings. Now watch, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. All right? You say, Pastor, I haven't got a clue what he's talking about. Well, that's what we're going to try and fix, okay? Then look at verse 11. It says, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, the Lord, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Amen. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters, now watch this, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now watch this, verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. All right? Now, who wants to come up here and explain all that? Raise your hand. That's about what I thought. I don't blame you. All right, let's pray real quick. All right. Father, we love you tonight and love your word, and I pray now you will bless and give us understanding of what we're about to hear. Thank you so much for the way you have blessed this study to our hearts. Thank you for what we have learned, and I pray that you'll continue to bless tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. The Western Church, the church in America, the church in Europe, has for the last about 150 years said that this mystery Babylon is Rome. All right, but now notice in verse 5, it says mystery Babylon. Now, does anybody's Bible say Rome? It does not, does it? I wonder what that means. If your Bible does not say Rome, but Babylon, do you think that God just might mean Babylon? Huh? I do. And, you know, it's really interesting when you go back through the Old Testament scriptures. Let's go all the way back to Nimrod rebelling after the flood. And Nimrod rebelled against God and built a city. And that city he called Babel. And that city, Babel, became Babylon. Now that city today is ruins. Okay? It's ruins. But what it portrays and what it pictures and what it represents is alive and well. It's alive and well. All right? Now you remember that, okay? Now let's look at a couple of things from this 17th chapter. First of all, I want you to notice with me the invitation. John, in verse 1, is given an invitation to come and to see the great mystery Babylon, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, look again at verse 18. It says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city. She is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, the seven vials that were poured out in chapter in chapter 15 and following, chapter 16, bowl judgments that were poured out brought about the conclusion, the climax of God's wrath on this kingdom that the Antichrist is building. All right, so we read in chapter 16 and verse 17 through verse 21. We read about how in heaven the word came that it is done. All right, so the judgment, the wrath has been poured out and it is done. And there were voices, verse 18, and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city, Jerusalem, was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great, what? Doesn't say Rome, does it? Again, anybody's Bible say Rome in the margin? Huh? No. No. What's it say? Babylon. All right, so the great city Babylon, watch this now, came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So these last series of judgments, the vile judgments, brought judgment upon the kingdom of the beast and upon city, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. So judgment and wrath are upon her. All right, everybody see that? So there's judgment upon her when we start this chapter. Now, let's understand this mystery Babylon in this fashion. Okay, understand it in this fashion. The mystery Babylon is a personification. All right, you understand what a personification is, right? Let's say that Pastor Ray down here is. Let's say that I start calling him Superman. All right, we're really reaching for straws here. I understand that, but let's suppose that I start calling Pastor Ray Superman. All right, and so everything that he does, I will say, man, good job, Superman, you know. And so after a while, everybody around here starts calling him Pastor Superman. Okay? Now, that's a personification. He is not Superman. Now, I hate to burst your bubble, but he is not Superman. All right? He cannot fly through the air with the greatest of ease. And he cannot stop a bullet with his chest. And he cannot bend steel. Okay? He's not Superman. But if we all started calling him that, it would be a personification. And that's what this harlot that John saw, this mystery Babylon, that's what this is. She is a personification. And the angel that showed John this takes the kingdom of the beast and the city, the capital where the beast will set up his kingdom. And I think that's going to be in Mecca, where the Kaaba is, That's I think the beast is going to be the 12th imam. I think he is the person that the Quran calls the Mahdi, and I believe that he will set his base there in the city of Mecca, and that great harlot, the Babylon, will take on the personification of the city of Babylon. Now, it's not per se Babylon. Babylon is ruins today. Okay? It's all to pieces. Now, the foundations, I understand, are still there, but it's a place you can go visit if you're brave enough. You can go visit, and I tell you what, during the millennium, we'll all go see it, okay? How's that? But right now, I think I'll just look at pictures if it's okay. But the whole idea here is this is given a personification. And so the angel takes the kingdom of the beast. This kingdom, and he calls it Mystery Babylon, gives it a she/her personality. It is, we would say America, she's not what she used to be. All right, we give it a female pronoun. All right, culturally, politically correct today, isn't it? But nonetheless, that's what's going on here. Now, understand this. The Antichrist, the beast, the Mahdi, will use lies and signs and miracles and wonders to persuade the world to follow his religion. He is going to be empowered by the dragon, we are told in the book of the Revelation. And he is going to use these things that he will be given by the dragon, by the devil, to persuade men to follow his religion. My personal feeling is, and I get this from what the Lord Jesus said in a couple of his discourses, especially the Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, when he spoke about how that there will be many who will say that I am Messiah, I am the Christ, and he said, when you hear that, don't believe it. He said, you will hear people say the Messiah, the Christ, is in the desert. Well, where's Mecca? In the desert. Okay? And Saudi Arabia is one big desert. All right? And so Jesus said, when you hear them say that, don't believe it. Don't believe it. It will be a false Messiah, not the Lord. And so so he's going to take that first 3.5-year period, and he is going to be, as Paul said, the man of peace. And he will use these lies and these signs and these miracles and these wonders, and he will persuade the world that he is the Messiah. Now, I think that's clear throughout the scripture. And he will persuade men. This is unsaved men now, all right? These are unsaved people. These are people that have heard the gospel on this side of the rapture. They have heard the gospel, and they have rejected the gospel. And then they go into the tribulation period. And in that first 3.5 years, the Bible says, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, that the devil or that God is going to send strong delusion to these unsaved people who have rejected the truth. And they will believe the devil's lie. All right? Hold your place here and go over to 2 Thessalonians. Let me read it to you. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then, so when we are gone, when the Spirit is gone, and when the church is gone, and when we go, the Spirit goes with us, verse 8, then shall that wicked, that's the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now that's the return at the end of the tribulation period. Look at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? The cause that they rejected the grace of God. They rejected salvation. All right, so if you've rejected salvation, and then the rapture happens, you're left behind. And then you're going to be lied to and you're going to believe the lie. You say, not me. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. I'm pretty sure there's no exceptions here. None that I could see anyway. All right. So he said that because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 10. Then look down, please, at verse 12. It says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So if you are not saved, you've had a clear presentation of the gospel, and many folks, especially here in America, have. They have. And if you've rejected the Lord, and then the Lord comes back and raptures the church to heaven, you're going to believe the lie. It's just that simple. All right? It's just that simple. And so I think at the midpoint of the 7-year tribulation, the Antichrist is then going to step up his game. He is going to break the peace treaty that will be established between the Palestinians, the Arab nations around Israel. And when that is broken, then he is going to enter into the temple that will be built, and he will then desecrate that temple. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what he's going to do there. A lot of folks think that he is going to offer a pig on the altar. I don't know where they get that. It's certainly not in the Bible. You say, well, wait a minute. Aren't Muslims, aren't they? They're not allowed to eat pigs either, are they? All right, so if he does that, what's it going to do? He's going to tick off the whole world, isn't he? But what does he care? You know? What does he care? And by this time, you know, he's going to have everybody in his hand. And then the Antichrist is, and this is what the Quran teaches, the Antichrist is then going to use jihad, which means holy war, to persuade the lost all over the world to submit or die. Submit or be beheaded. And the Holy Spirit gives this system, this religious system that the beast will use to drag the souls of men off to hell, a personification, and calls her Mystery Babylon. In other words, what this system that the Antichrist is going to establish is going to accomplish the same thing that Nimrod set out to accomplish way back at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. That's what it's saying. And it's personified as Mystery Babylon. Now, what's a mystery? What's a mystery? It's something unsolved, isn't it? All right? You say, what's a mystery? Well, there's something that's not clear. It's a mystery. There's something that's not explained. It's a mystery. And I think, folks, once this midpoint of the tribulation takes place and the Antichrist changes from the man of peace to the man of sin, I mean, I think he is going to expose himself as the evil soul that he is. He's Satan incarnate. What does he care if he offends every Muslim by offering a pig on the altar? What does he care? What's he care if he angers the Jews by offering a pig? And it would anger the Jews. All right, what's he care? He's going to go on a huge killing spree here. That's what chapter 17 is all about. This kingdom that he is making. So notice them, like a prostitute, she will, this Mystery Babylon will lure the world into trusting and accepting her and her kingdom, her ways. And all that's going to be done by satanic doing. So just as you remember, I just thought of this, as Nimrod forced those under him to submit to his leadership, or he killed them, all right? Remember that? Nimrod was a beast. He was a horrifying man. He became a tyrant over people. He lorded over people. And just as Nimrod forced his will upon men in Genesis 10, all right, just as he did that, the Antichrist is going to do the same thing with this world. He will force his will upon the world. And Islam has a plan to make men submit to its claims. Don't forget that Islam means to submit, and Muslim means I have submitted. So a Muslim is one who has submitted to Islam. Islam's tenets, let's be honest, they're not appealing. Right? Now, especially modern America. I'm sure there are some men that would like it in their warped idea of Sharia law. It's all one-sided. It's so warped. It favors man, not woman. All right? And you know what's so strange is even today, many of the Muslim nations today are seeing people in their kingdoms rejecting the tyranny. There's all kinds of changes that are taking place over there in Islam. All kinds. Some of the nations, like you've got Qatar. How do you say that? Do y'all say it? Qatar? Qatar? C-U-T-T-E-R, Qatar? It's Q-A-T-A-R, Qatar. I don't know. Anyway, that's how hillbillies say it. But they're hosting the World Cup. Now you figure that. They can't play it in the summer like they normally do. They have to play it in the fall because it's so hot over there. But they have taken their oil money and they have built stadiums and they've air-conditioned them. So all the teams who play in the World Cup are going to play in air-conditioned stadiums. And what they're going to do is they're going to show a face of normalcy. It's nothing more than the devil just getting ready. That's all it is. Bahrain is normalizing. Saudi Arabia has signed under President Trump a peace accord with Israel. I felt the pulpit move when I said that. Go figure. Say, what's going on? What's going on? Well, they're trying to put on a good face. Getting ready. Did you ever notice that Islam never has soul winners going out into non-Muslim areas trying to convert folks to Islam? What are you converting to? Huh? What are you converting to? Ladies, would you like to wear that thing that only your eyes are shown? What's it called? A hijab?
Hijab, but the one with only eyes is
called. Yeah. Okay, say it again.
Niqab.
Niqab.
That's when
only the eyes are showing. Can you imagine 120 degrees and you've got on a black robe and the only thing that's showing are your eyes? I can't fathom that. I mean, it just blows me away. Why would you want that? You can't drive, ladies. You can't drive a car. Now, you can only have one husband. But that sorry husband can have four wives. Anybody game for that? No way. Now, do you know what that means, guys? You got four mother-in-laws. That's what that means. You better think that through. Right? Mercy. Now, folks, understand, I got to quit. Understand that the call here in verse 1 is to come and see the destruction, the coming destruction of this system. Come and see it. Now, when's it going to be destroyed? It's going to be destroyed once and for all when the Lord Jesus comes back with all of us. Okay? But this great religious kingdom that the beast is going to build, that religious kingdom, that thing is going to be destroyed by the Antichrist himself. And I'll show you that next week. We don't have time to do it tonight. But in chapter 18, the commercial side of this kingdom is going to be destroyed by God Almighty. All right? So the beast, the Antichrist, that's why I say he just becomes, totally not what you think he would be. He's worse than worse. And this kingdom that he establishes is just going to change overnight. And then he is going to get so filled with rage toward it, he will destroy it. He will destroy it. And I'll show you that next week. All right? He'll destroy it. That's something to think about, isn't it? So, it's coming. Just gotta hang in there a little while. All right, got through one point. I got 1, 2, 3, 4 pages left. I got through one. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And I pray now you'll bless this to our hearts. I pray you'll help us to see that you have a plan. It's right here in the Bible. You have not hidden it from us. It's right here in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, but it's also in the New Testament. And I pray you'll help us to want to know that plan. Help us to want to read and study our Bible so that we can know what's coming. And Father, when we read chapter 17 and see all the awful things that are going to happen with this kingdom, it brings consolation to our hearts as we realize that we are not going to be here for all this. We're going to be in heaven with you. You take us out in chapter 4 before there is any of this developed. And so thank you, Father, for the great promise that Paul said in the book of Romans. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, we're thankful for that. So bless that to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.